Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right, all right. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio, down there in Atlanta, Georgia, on Blog Talk Radio. Giving you good news, nothing but good news, and the best news in the whole round world, 25,000 miles in circumference, carrying about 6.8 billion people on the planet, spinning about 17.4 miles a second. Been doing that for the last 6,000 years. God is in control. Good God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. He's in control, and we are living in 2021, June, in the month of June, almost is gone. It's the day of June 16th or 17th. Sometimes time moves so fast you can't even keep up with it. But let me tell you something. The best thing that ever happened to me in my life, in my whole life, and my life is so short. I only live, I'm only capable of living maybe 80 years, maybe 90, maybe 100 years. But that's short compared to God's time. Amen. If I live 1,000 years to God, that's one day. Lord, have mercy. If I live one day, that's 1,000 years. So let me tell you something. You better get ready. You better get ready, because after a while, old time going to have to leave. Amen. In eternity, we'll lock up and we'll go eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you something. If I don't tell you nothing else before I leave this planet, Jesus Christ is definitely, absolutely coming back again to judge the world in righteousness. Amen. He's going to take those that know him. He ain't taking church members. He ain't taking denominations. He's not taking the color of your skin. He's not taking the black. He's not taking the white because of the color of your skin. He decided to let you go to heaven. Amen. The only way that a man can enter to the kingdom of God is through what? Is through the new birth, Jesus Christ. You must be what? Born again, not of flesh and blood, but be born of water and the Spirit of God. If Jesus Christ spoke to Nicodemus King, the rabbi of the Pharisees, and he told him one night, late at night, I don't know, it was about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, maybe Jewish time or Israel time, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Lord, have mercy. Came by night because he didn't want no disturbance. Amen. He didn't want to see nobody see him talking to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Who is Jesus Christ? It's been discussed all over across the universe, all over across the annals of time for the last six millenniums, the last three millenniums. They were saying, who is Jesus Christ? Amen. People use his name in vain. People belittle him. People slay him. People talk about him. They say, well, he ain't what he claimed to be. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe there is a Jesus Christ. I know. You hear what I say? I know there's a Jesus Christ. And I know who he is. He is God's son. He is God in the flesh, brothers and sisters. The Pope, the bishops, the prophets, the preachers, he is God himself in the flesh. Amen. God became man. He was God, man. And what he did, nobody else did in human history. Nobody did other in divine history from here to eternity. And that is God became flesh, born of a Virgin Mary, wrapped himself in swaddling clothes, stayed on this earth 33.5 years. Good God Almighty, did miracles on top of miracles. Miracles that it wasn't even named in the Bible what he done while he was on earth for 33 years. And most of all, amen, he went to the cross. He went to the cross. He went to the cross. Let me tell you, he went to the cross. No cross, no crown. No cross, no salvation. No shedding of blood, no salvation. Amen. If Jesus Christ wouldn't have dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder and gave up the ghost and went down into the bowels of hell, stayed in hell for 3 days and three nights, if he wouldn't have did that and got up on the third day morning, good God Almighty, if he wouldn't have got up, the whole world would go to hell. You hear what I said? The whole world would go to hell And what Jesus Christ claimed that he said, if he wouldn't have got up, then amen. And what he said, if he wasn't the one, he was the biggest liar. He's the biggest farce that you ever thought of. But he is the Son of God. He is God Almighty. Self. Listen to me now. Self-existence. Self-existence. You can't figure it out. No scientist can't figure it out. No archaeologist can't figure it out. No geologist can't figure it out. No mathematician can't figure it out. Nobody can figure it out because he's self-existent. He already was. He always will be. He will never cease to be. You can't figure it out because you come from a sperm. You come from an egg. You never had a beginning until what? A male and female, amen, conceived. When a woman conceived by a man, the sperm, amen, fertilize the egg, and then you come into existence. But before that, you was not in existence. God was already in existence. God was the one that created. And what he said, when I say create, that means that God took nothing and spoke it into existence. You can't figure it out. And here you are. Here the world now. Mankind has rebelled against our great God of Zion. Men are trying to say that he's dead. Men say that he's a cripple. Men say he never existed. Men today are saying that no, there's no such thing as the Bible. There's no such thing as the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Men are trying to deny. But whatever man said is a lie because it comes from the pits of hell, because the devil is a lie. Don't you know the devil was created by God Almighty? Don't you know the devil, before he became the devil, amen, before the devil was even in the vocabulary, he was named Lucifer. Don't you know who Lucifer is? In the Bible, it tells you that Lucifer was the son of the morning. He was an anointed cherubim, amen. He was the second in command, amen. And God gave him privilege to be the choir director and to direct all the other angels to what? To sing and praise his glory. And he gave him a beautiful style. He dressed him with all kind of golds and emeralds and jasper. And boy, he was a shining light. He was a music box. He was a protector of God's throne. He was the angel of the angel. He was an anointed. Now listen to me. He was an anointed cherubim. And he was in high office, but he was not higher than God Almighty. And when he was created, God took nothing. Think about it. God took nothing and spoke to nothing. And nothing had to come forth. Woo! You can't fathom that. Your brains, my brain, and anybody else's brains can't conceive. And then some folks want to try to figure out, somebody made God. Ain't nobody made God. God is self-existent. I done told you. He don't need me. Amen. We need him. Souls today need God. Souls today, lost souls, need God because of the fall of Lucifer entering into the Garden of Eden and deceiving Adam and Eve. He took over the human race. Man now fell under the law of sin, death, hell, and the grave. Man was cut off from God. When Satan deceived Adam and Eve, man fell into sin and became what? He became a sinner. They became a sinner. And every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every old person, every ugly person, every white person, every black person, every Chinese, everybody that was ever born on this planet was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and there's no way you can get rid of it yourself. Amen. You can't go to church and get rid of sin. You can't shake the preacher's hand and get rid of sin. You got to return back to God in repentance. You got to turn from sin. You got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you are a sinner, amen, by birth. And you couldn't help it because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And when they fell, it was a terrible fall. And you want to know why the world is in such a bad shape today, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, because Satan is in control over mankind. Well, what did I put God? God put God on the throne. He still rules. He super rules. Woo! If God is so powerful, this is what folks are saying. If God is so powerful, why don't he change the world? Woo, God is powerful. And he can change the world. But he can't change the world against your will. He can't change your heart and you don't want to be changed. He can't make you repent unless you want to repent. He can't make you fear God until you get some understanding who God is. And folks don't know who God is. They think he's a playmate. They think he's a jack-o'-lantern. He think he's some pumpkin on Halloween. He think he's some Santa Claus flying through the air, thinking some man flying through the air. But God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is Elder Bazaar. This is the end time message. This is Watchman on the Wall. Amen. I got to preach this word in season, out of season. When I don't want to preach it, I got to preach it. When I don't feel like preaching, I got to preach it. Why? Because time is winding up. Things are getting worse and worse. Everybody's kind of happy now because the coronavirus is letting up. But I'm not even worried about the coronavirus. I'm not worried about that. That's a pig in a blanket. Amen. That was nothing but a get-go to get this thing going on because it's going to run into the tribulation period. They're trying to get you set up for the tribulation period. It was a made bacteria that was made in China. People can't get to understand it. They plotted this thing. The devil is a plotter. The devil is a killer. The devil is a destroyer. The devil is a murderer. And he don't care nothing about the human race. You hear what I said? I said the devil don't care nothing about the human race. We can see it as a society now. People don't care nothing about the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the joy of God. They don't want nothing to do with that. They're turning their backs on God. Oh, yes, they have a form of godliness, but they don't have no power. They're resisting the power of the Holy Ghost through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is Watchmen on the Wall. We are talking here about number one thing, the cross of Christ. That's the number one item in the Bible. The number one thing in the Bible is the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus means Savior, and Christ means anointed, meaning that Jesus Christ is a very, 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 very God. Christ said, I and the Father are one. I'm in the Father, and the Father in me. He said, the works that I do, it's not I that does this, but the Father that's in me does the work. Ooh! Let me tell you something. That's the power of God. It's not no denomination. It's not your status quo. It's not your education. It's not your color of your skin. It's not all the programs that you can drum up. It's not how smart you are. It's not how dumb you are. It's not how stupid you are. It's what? It's about what? Jesus Christ will save anybody that wants to be saved. S-A-V-E. Because you only got one soul. One soul. If you go through this life, if you go through this life without accepting the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you die without Christ, I didn't say without church membership, you can pay your tithes, you can drive the finest car, you can have the biggest house, you can have all these materialistic things, you can worship all other gods and all other deities and all other religions and all other, but if you do not come to your sin-bending knees at the foot of the cross of Christ and recognize the shed blood of Jesus Christ is God's blood. You hear what I said? The shed blood of Jesus Christ is God's blood. That's the only way God could shed his blood is through his son. He had to become human. Good God Almighty. Human. He had to be born sinless. No sin. No mistake. He was perfect. He was perfect God and perfect man. And he, God himself, knew the only way that man can be redeemed, the only way man can get in connection with the Almighty. There's only one way, not what Ofrey Winfrey says. There's many ways to God, or T.D. Jakes, or these television evangelists. They're talking about, well, you can go to heaven in so many different ways, different kinds of religion. That's a lie from the pits of hell. There's only one way you can come to God, and that's through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He walked this earth 33.5 years, seen of men, justified by the Spirit, walked, talked, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils in his name, spoke without a script or anything. Just when he spoke with authority. And he told exactly what would happen after the prophets already, all the prophets in the Bible, all 12 minor prophets, all 12 major prophets, they spoke of the end time period, exactly what would happen at the end time. What would happen, number one, to the Jewish race, what would happen to the Gentile race, and what would happen to the church age. It was spoken in the Old Testament and spoken in the New Testament exactly down to the T what would happen just before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And guess what? It is on the platter right now. It's in the kitchen, boiling in the pot. It's in the dining room. Get ready to set the table for the time of when Christ said, before I come back, it will be just like the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking, and they were murdering, they were killing, they were raping, they were selling drugs, they were committing fornication, they were committing homosexuality, they were fags, and there was homosexuals, and there were lesbians, and there were sodomites. And he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. Now look at the condition of IU newspaper. Every time you turn it over, turn your TV on, somebody somewhere is in a raving mad outfit, done lost their mind, because Satan and his demons are working to what? To try to damn the whole human race, but he can't do it. Sad to say, don't want to say it, but the Bible said, majority of the world and the population will go to hell. The majority. Why? Because people will not come to their senses. They love the world more than they love God, and the pleasures of the world, and the desires of the world, and the careers of the world, and the education of the world, and the religious of the world. They believe that they can overthrow God and dethrone God from his rightful place of holiness. Holiness, follow peace with all men, and holiness for without no man. You hear what I said? No man shall see the Lord. My friend, we are definitely in that last days. And don't let nobody fool you. I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care how long you've been singing in the choir. I don't care how long you've been the secretary. I don't care how long you've been preaching. I don't care how long you've been a missionary. I don't care how long you've been doing things, considering things for the Lord. You must be born again, period. Because Jesus said, in the last day, many shall come in my name, saying that they are Christ. He said, many shall say, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, cast out devils in your name? Oh, Lord, have we not done wonderful miracles in your name? Lord, we have been a shining light for you. And when they stand before the judgment, amen, the Lord going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. It's not what you've done, amen, but that you don't know me. You don't know me in the pardon of your sins. And there's a lot of people today do not know what it means when Christ pardon you from your sin and sanctify your soul and make you whole again and make you a new creature again. And let me tell you, church going, let me tell you, I love going to church. Please don't get me wrong. I love going to church. I love to praise the Lord in a sacred place. where I can lift up my voice. I can lift it out on the street. But see, when you lift it out on the street, amen, people think you lost your mind. They'll lift their voice up for football, basketball, all kind of recreation. But when you lift your name up for Jesus Christ and you praise his name, you're crazy. What you praising him for? What did he do for you? Well, the reason why you can't praise him because he ain't, you won't let him do nothing for you. And one thing I know you're praising for, when you get saved, you want to praise the Lord. Now, I know some people say they really ain't into the word of God. They haven't grown nothing. They haven't suffered persecution too much. I ain't saying that they ain't saved because they ain't never been through nothing. Amen. But because the Bible says confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So now you got to grow in grace. But in growing in grace, amen, you got to suffer some persecution. Amen. And the more persecution you suffer, amen, the stronger you can get. So the Bible said pray without ceasing. Amen. Pray at all times. Fast and pray. Amen. Seek the Lord with all your heart, all you got. Amen. All you got. Amen. Don't give him 99 and a half. It ain't going to work. Amen. You got to give God all you got. Give him your soul and let him set you free because Jesus Christ, amen, is coming back. Watchman on the wall, amen. We cover in the word of God in this ministry, the end time watchman on the wall. We cover it from Genesis to Revelation. We don't miss nothing up in here. Amen. We cover the 66 books. We cover, amen, the 12 minor prophets, the four major prophets. Amen. We let you know that Jesus Christ, number one, he's a crucified one. When he was born, he was born a Jew. He was born into the nation of Israel. So he was a Jew. And by him being a Jew, he said, I come to my own, and my own receive me not, but as many as receive me in my name, I will make them, I let them be the sons of God. And that's the Jewish nation because the gospel came to his own nation first. You hear what I said? It came to the Jews because the Jews was his chosen nation through Abraham. It was because of Abraham that God said, I'm going to rise me up a nation. I'm going to rise me up a spotlight. I'm going to rise me up some sanctified folks. I'm going to raise people up who love me and because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And guess what? Abraham had that kind of faith. And by him having that kind of faith, he brought into existence the greatest nation on the face of this planet. Today is the Jewish nation. And nobody can defeat them. Nobody can do any harm against them. And just before Jesus Christ come, Christ told us in the Old Testament, told us in the New Testament, he said, before I come back, I'm going to restore my nation in the land of Israel. I'm going to bring the Jews from the east, from the north, from the south, and from the west, and I'm going to put them in the land of Israel. I'm going to place them in the land of Israel, and I'm not going to let them be removed from that land no more. They're going to go into that land and stay there and go into the millennium reign. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But before they go to the millennium reign, they must go through a what? Tribulation period. They must go to the seventh week spoken by Daniel the prophet. And that is the last week that God is going to deal with the Jewish nation because he dealt with them for 69 weeks from 606 BC until what? Until 34 AD, when he came riding through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass. You hear what I said? Jesus Christ was dealing with the Jewish nation for 69 weeks, which equals 483 years. And they tell me after the 483 years during the time of the crucifixion, listen to me now, the crucifixion, the Jewish nation were cut off. They were cut off because God said they were disobedient. They did not receive him. He said, I'm going to go to the Gentiles to stir up jealousy amongst the Jewish people because the Jews would not accept Jesus Christ. God himself, I'm going to stir up some jealousy, godly jealousy. I'm going to make the Jews get jealous because the Messiah that they rejected, I'm going to give him to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are going to receive them. Amen. than most of the churches to modern day. Church is consistent more of Gentiles than Jews, because the Jews, amen, were cut off, then God grafted the Gentiles in until this present day. And now we're living in the last church age where God almost has his church. He said, up on this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Jesus Christ has been building on the church ever since the day of Pentecost. Now, the Jews are getting ready. Listen to me. They're getting ready to be grafted back into the fold, because God owes them 490 years of dealing with the Jewish people. He dealt with them for 483 years, which is 69 weeks. Well, the 69 weeks now is getting ready to open up to finish the other week, which would make it 70 weeks. The 70th week spoken by Daniel the prophet would come at the time when the Antichrist would be alive up on the earth. And let me tell you right now, Brother Bazaar is telling you the truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, my soul, my spirit, my body, toward God Almighty, Jesus Christ, amen, will not come back until the Antichrist arise and fall, because when the Antichrist fall, it's going to be because of Jesus Christ coming back from heaven. Well, preacher, what you talking about? How in the world can Jesus Christ come back from heaven with the church? How could he do that? You figure, if the Bible says, and the Bible does say it, it ain't about if, the Bible says there's going to be a rapture, a catching up, a translation, a removal from one spot to another spot. God is going to remove the church from the earth to the presence of his glory in heaven. That's the translation. That is called the rapture. And I know somebody's teaching it, there ain't no such thing as a rapture. And if there is, it's a mid-rapture or it's a post-rapture. And they got it all messed up. Because let me tell you, there is a pre-rapture. In other words, the tribulation will not come on this planet until the body of Christ is removed. And since I'm in the body of Christ, since I've been born again, baptized with the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, since I've been preaching for at least 57 years, the same gospel I started with, I'm preaching it today. I'm preaching it without pay. I'm preaching it, why? Because I don't need money, amen, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But why? He said, don't take no strip with you. Don't take no staff with you. Don't take nothing with you. And told the disciples, don't take nothing with you. Go out there and preach, because I will speak through you. And that's what he's doing, speaking through me, through the word of God, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, what are we doing in Jerusalem? What is going on in Jerusalem? Well, it's always been Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a hot spot for the devil. The devil don't want Christ to come back to this earth. He's trying to hinder the return of Jesus Christ. Why are the nations of the world fighting against Jerusalem and trying to annihilate every Jew? Every Jew they want to get rid of and take their land and move in with Muslims and Catholics and all kinds of different religions and rule the world from Jerusalem. Why? What are they doing? Is this really going to happen? Is Satan trying to prevent Jesus Christ from coming back and starting the millennium reign? Hey, absolutely. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to stop the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he's been trying to do that for the last 2,000 years. He's been trying to destroy the church. But he cannot destroy anything that God has backed up. He cannot destroy the cross. He cannot destroy the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He cannot destroy the suffering of Jesus Christ. He cannot destroy the period of time that he was in the grave. He cannot deny it. He cannot hide from it. He cannot rewrite it. Why? Because what is written is written. And what has happened, God has established himself in Jerusalem, and that's the city in which Christ will rule and reign from. And Satan, with his blaspheme himself, is trying to stop the Jewish people from what? Taking control of Jerusalem. Because Israel, the Jewish people will be the head of the nations. They are coming back to be the head of all nations, because the Jewish nation is the only nation. Get this now. Get this real good. And I'm talking to you now. I'd like to get some scriptures for you, but I can explain this, amen, not without the scriptures, but to take time to find the scriptures and rewrite them and figure. But the Jewish nation is the only nation to represent God on this earth. I'll say it again. The Jewish nation is the only nation that God gave them the responsibility to represent God Almighty. No other nation has God called to represent him under the power of the Holy Ghost. He took Abraham. And by Abraham's faith and his love for God, God used Abraham to be an example of a faith-fearing person to respect God and to honor God. And God honored Abraham because Abraham obeyed him. And he said, out of thee, I'm going to bring a nation forth. And this nation will be the most powerful nation on the earth. You say, well, what you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about when Egypt tried to destroy the Jewish people coming up out of Egypt. They crumbled when the Assyrian Empire tried to destroy the Jewish people. They disintegrated. When the Babylonians came, they disintegrated. When the Median Persian Empire came, they disintegrated. When the Greek Empire came, they disintegrated. When the Roman Empire tried to annihilate the Jewish people, they disintegrated. And now, in the last days, just before Christ comes, there's a new world order coming. There's a world government coming. There's a world money system coming. There's a world religious system coming that will try to eliminate the Jewish people, because they stand for the Almighty God, and God will defend them in every aspect and his power, because he's going to show it after a while. Amen. And right now, Israel is a hot box. The Hamas and the Hezbollahs are trying to bomb it, get rid of it, kill the Jews, get rid of them. And guess what? They will never, never, never destroy or eliminate the Jewish nation. Where is the church? Well, the church was started by the Jewish people. 120 Jews was in the upper room. And when they came out of the upper room on the 50th day of Pentecost, they were doing what? They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were telling the world, you hear what I said? No other nation could tell the world about Jesus Christ, because they were heathens. And heathens are those that's born without any connection with the true God. The only gods that the Gentiles knew were idols, demons, devils. They had their own gods. But God told Abraham, out of you, I'm going to make a great nation to be a representative to the other nations, to let them know I'm the true God. Gentiles had over 13 different kinds of gods in the Old Testament, 13 different kinds of gods in worship. Baal, Dagon, all kinds of gods. I can't give you the name of them all, but I got them. Amen. And it will take me time to find it. But they had over 13 different gods. And guess what? Israel only had the true God. And the true God was Elohim. The true God was Jehovah. The true God was Yeshua. The true God was Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. In the Old Testament, have you ever seen a nation that when the Jews prayed, when they was in trouble, amen, God came and delivered every time, every time. Look at the great patriarchs in the Old Testament were Jews. The Bible was written by the Jews. The church was started by the Jews. Woo! Jesus Christ came down through 42 generations through the Jewish nations. Woo! When he came to the Jews. And when the Jews rejected him and said, I have some that's not of this fold, them I also must bring. What was he saying? He was saying, now, since y'all don't want to receive me, I've got some from the Gentile nation, I'm going to bring them in. Woo! So what happened? The Jewish people introduced to the heathen nations the true God. And now the church age have went through 2,000 years of church age. And all through the church age, Gentiles have came in. Both Jew and Gentiles have came in. But the church now is consisted more of Gentiles. And the Gentile time is almost over. The Gentile time will be over when what? The rapture comes. When the rapture comes, the time of the Gentiles will be over. And the Jews will take control of preaching. Wait a minute. Preaching, evangelizing, and proclaiming, huh? And explaining what their last 7-year mission will be like. It will be dynamic. It will be a similar, unbelievable what these Jews are going to do in the 7-year tribulation. They are going to be dynamite. They are going to be so powerful, it's going to turn the world upside down. It's going to make people think again during the tribulation period. The tribulation period is a period in which the Jewish people will preach the last 7 years of the message just before Jesus Christ comes. The church in Israel will not be on this earth at the same time when it comes to the part of the tribulation period. Because number one, the church mission, the church's job is almost over. We'll never get back to the rightful teachings of what the church is all about. People don't even know what the church is all about. It's about what? Saving souls. Saving souls. Not a money laundering, hungry, greedy group of people who like to dress up and just show off to what they got and go to church and talk about each other and have all kind of parties and little old side show. The church is a place where the gospel is supposed to preach, and the gospel of the salvation of Jesus Christ, what he did on Calvary's cross. If you don't have no cross in your church, if you don't have no resurrection of Jesus Christ in your church, if you don't have no Holy Ghost-filled people in your church, if you're not teaching the people of the plan of salvation and how you acquire it, guess what? You don't have a church. You got a sideshow. And some of these churches like a sideshow. They got clowns and monkeys, and they got baboons acting up and acting a fool. Amen. The preachers behind the pulpit ain't preaching nothing. If they're not preaching repentance, if they're not preaching salvation, if they're not preaching there's a hell that lose and having a gain, if they're not preaching the doctrine of hell and letting people know, if you leave this world without Jesus Christ, if you leave this world without being born again, if you leave this world without being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, if you leave this world without confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if you believe and leave this world without accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, you will bust hell wide open. I don't care if you've been to a dozen seminars. I believe in the anointing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on my life. I believe that. I live for that. I testify of the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, and his spirit in my heart, in my soul, to teach the right doctrines in the Bible. And so now we're living in that Laodicea church, that lukewarm, nonchalant church. Have a form of godliness, but don't have no power. Ain't got no power to live right for nothing. They cuss, they lie, they cheat, they backbite, they criticize, they ostracize each other. They go to church, and because they've been in the church for 40 years, they think they own the church. Whoa, they try to tell people what to do and how to do it, where they don't know how to do it themselves. Some people just want to be on the big side of the story and want to be in part. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, ooh, uncles and aunts, daughters and sisters, amen. There ain't nobody important in church that the church cannot go on if you would die today. If I would die tomorrow, the church is going on. If I say, Lord have mercy. People think they run the church. The church. Woo. Don't you understand? God don't need me. But what God is love. And God gave me his son, the only son that he had, that through him I could have eternal life. That's what he died for, my sins. He didn't die for me to ever be a big shot or be important. Because every born-again believer, and those that have not been born, is important to God. God don't have no pets. And I'll say it again. God don't have no kitty cat. He ain't petting nobody on the back. He ain't petting no preacher on the back. He ain't petting no prophet on the back. He ain't petting no choir member on the back. And look what I done and look what I, You got the wrong God. God don't have no respect of person. In the Old Testament, God would wink at sin. But now he's requiring every soul to repent and turn from their wicked ways. And the world is saying, I don't want to turn from my wicked ways. I believe I can go to heaven without being regenerated. Well, let me tell you, you won't go to heaven at all. You won't even see heaven until your soul is being regenerated, until your soul has been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. And brother, I'm telling you, we're living in that time now where the Middle East is getting ready to heat up. The nations of the world is getting ready to try to destroy the Jews. I'll show you. The nations of the world is trying and getting ready to try to destroy the Jewish nation. And the Jewish nation, the smallest nation on the planet, only about 40 million Jews earthwide. 40 million Jews on this planet, the smallest nation on the planet, and nobody can touch them. Nobody will destroy them. Why? Because God for them, who can be against them? Yes, I understand they're walking in unbelief. That's what the Bible said. They will come back into the land in unbelief. Because God said, I'm going to bring them back. I've scattered them because I chastised them. Because these are my people. And by my chastising, I whipped them. And by me whipping them, I will correct them. And now the Jews are coming back, and they are there to stay. And by them coming back, the nations of the world is in a roar. They're mad. Russia is mad. Afghanistan is mad. Libya is mad. The Palestinians are mad. There's over 70 nations in every nation except for one that, whoo, I hope they stay in the right place, and that is America. I hope America stays in the right place and defend the Jewish people, and I hope the church will pray for the Jew. I hope the church will recognize without the Jew, brothers and sisters, you wouldn't have what God gave you, and that's salvation. You wouldn't have salvation through Jesus Christ. You wouldn't have the Bible. You wouldn't have the principles of living and moral and code law, because the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, which was a Jew. Now, you talking about you a Christian and you love Christ. Oh, you love him, and you defy the Jew and don't believe the Jews is God's chosen people. You got a problem there. You got a problem there. And the Bible said, God told Abraham, whoever blessed my nation, I will bless them. Whoever cursed my people, I will curse them. And nations of the world have been cursed because they refuse to recognize the Jews as God's chosen ones. And here we are now in a time where they're throwing firebombs and dropping firebombs on the Jews and try to burn their fields up, shooting rockets and tearing down people's homes and blowing up their children. And then the world's looking at it, so, they're good for the Jew. We got all kinds of anti-Semitic people walking in church today. Amen. Talking about they love the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was a Jew, and here you are hating his people and resenting his people. But let me tell you something. If you don't get it together, amen, you're going to miss out the blessings. I'm talking to the Christians now. If you don't start praying for the Jewish people and start praying for your community and start supporting them in prayer, because I guarantee you, Jerusalem is getting ready to go into siege, and God is going to deliver them, every one of them. Watch what I tell you. Watch what the Bible tell you. I didn't make this up. I didn't think this up. I didn't write this up. It's already written in the Bible. Come on to me, Zechariah. Zechariah said in the 14th chapter, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. This is Zechariah. Now listen to what he's saying. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses raffled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. Look. It says nations, more than one, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet, check this out. Check this out real good if you know what I'm talking about. Check it out. And he said, and his feet shall stand in that day up on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great earthquake. A very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove from the north and half of it towards the south. This is when Christ comes back to the earth. This is at the end of the tribulation. He is coming back to this earth at the end of the tribulation, and his feet shall stand up on the Mount of Olives. How do you know that he left Mount of Olives? Let's see what the Bible says real quick in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, let's see, can I verify that in the book of Acts? It says in the book of Acts, amen, right now on time. Amen. In the first chapter, in the book of Acts. And they, in the book of Acts, Jesus Christ get ready to leave the earth after the resurrection, 40 days after he had stayed up on the earth, he went back and he says, which also in the 11th verse, first chapter 11 verse, it says, which also ye men of Galilee, why stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you see him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. There you go. It was on top of the Mount of Olives. Jesus Christ's feet was standing on the Mount of Olives. And he said, I'm getting ready to leave. And he left. And when he left, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, whereby both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and son of Alphaeus and son of the Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James. All these continue in one accord in prayer, supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brother. This is where they went back to the upper room, and they were at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus had left from the Mount of Olives, and then Zechariah comes along and says his feet shall stand in that day up on the Mount of Olives. This is when he returns back from heaven. When Christ comes back from heaven with what? He's coming back with the church. How do you know, Brother Bazaar? Well, let me see what I got for you, man. Let's see what the Word of God got for you. Amen. Ooh, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, Satan, because I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to hinder me from letting these people know. Let's go to the book of Jude. Amen. Let's go to the book of Jude real quick. Amen. If I can find that real quick for you. Amen. In the book of Jude, it says this. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen. In the book of Jude, 1 and what? 1 and 14. Amen. 1 and 14. Amen. Here's the second coming of Jesus Christ spoken by Enoch. Enoch said also, the seventh one from Adam prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth with 10,000 saints. Who is his saints? The saints is the church. To execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of their own ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, of all the hard speech which the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers and complainers walking after their own lusts, their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's person and their admiration because of the advantage. This is the church coming back to execute judgment upon the wicked. Jesus Christ left the Mount of Olives. Jesus Christ is coming back on the Mount of Olives. Enoch said when he comes back, he's coming back with the church. Revelation 19:11 says, here's what the church going to look like when he comes back. 19:11. Let's go to 19:11 chapter of Revelation. This is the church. Woo, hallelujah. This is the glorious church. It says in the 19th chapter of Revelation, the revealing Christ, the 11th verse. It says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Well, Preacher Bazaar, there's another white horse. Oh, yes, I understand that. That white horse represents the Antichrist. It comes in the sixth chapter at the beginning of the tribulation period. But this is after the tribulation period. This is when the tribulation period is over. And John said, this is what John said. He said, I saw heaven open. And then in the fourth chapter of Revelation, he said, I saw a door open. There's a difference between heaven open and a door open. The door represents the rapture of the church. When the church is raptured up, a door open, and only those that know Jesus Christ can open and go through this door. If you don't know Jesus Christ, when the rapture comes, you will not go through the door. You will be left here on earth. You could be sitting in church. You could be singing in the choir. You could be taking up collection. You could be a whole lot of church work. But if you haven't been born again, if you haven't been been washed in the blood of the Lamb. When the door is opened and the trumpets blow and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. If you haven't been washed in the blood, sanctified, set apart from sin. And when you set apart from sin, you're qualified to get a new body. And you get a new body by the twinkling of an eye. You'll have a glorified body just like Christ. Not because you go to church. Not because you don't sing the song. But because you have redeemed, been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And you get your new body. And you get a new, spanking new body just like Christ. And you're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall you ever be with the Lord. Because while we're in heaven, we are going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, or Bema seat. We're going to be judged according to the works that we have done here on earth. I'm going to be judged according to the works, what I've been doing on this earth for 75, 76 years. What I've been doing? Have I been preaching the word? Have I been living for God? Have I been trying to win souls to Christ? Have I been praising his name? Have I been testifying of his name? Have I been living a holy life through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his sanctified spirit? Have I been doing that? Well, I'm going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, whether it be good, whether it be evil. Because I'm not going to heaven, amen, because I'm a good person. You ain't going to heaven because you're good. If you go to heaven, if I go to heaven, amen, you're going because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's it. Repentance. Turn from your wickedness and ask the Lord to sanctify your soul through and through. Cleanse your mind, your attitude, and your love that you have for Christ. Because let me tell you, the Bible says if a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he's a liar. And the truth is not in. And we got a whole lot of church members nothing but liars. They don't love God. And I know they don't love God because they don't love their fellow brothers. They're ready to cut them down in a minute. They're ready to talk about it. They're ready to criticize on those that's shortcoming. Ooh, let me tell you something. How can a man say that he loved God whom he never seen? And you got your brother right in front of you, looking at you, and you talking about I like so and so. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't even like. You don't have nothing. Because the Bible says if you hate, you're a murderer. You're a murderer already, and you don't have no eternal life. Because when eternal life comes, love comes. Woo! When love comes, eternal life comes. Jesus Christ is eternal life, and he loves. And when he comes into your heart, into your soul, change you, woo, make you a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything is new. You have a shouting going on. You have a magnificent testimony. You got a testimony that make the devil tremble. You ought to have a testimony. He saved my soul once and for all. I'm not coming back to get saved over and over and over and over and over. Folks are getting saved so many times, amen, they ain't saved in the first place. Get saved. Quit trying to hip-hop. Shucking and jiving. You're making a monkey out of yourself. You're embarrassing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have a form of God, but you ain't got no power to forgive. You ain't got no power to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to somebody's church. Amen. Corona or no corona. Because this corona got people messed up. People are dying more of other diseases and other ways of dying than corona. The devil is a lie. People still getting shots and still get the corona. What you need, you know what you need? You need the power of God in your life, and you need to recognize if you're serving God, amen, God will protect me from all harm and danger. Now, I know what people are going to say. Don't be foolish. You got to obey what they say to do. I understand that, but let me tell you something. It's time to get off your little pity for self and start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. If he brought you yesterday, you still alive. Tell me what power, what vaccination can do that. Woo! Who's feeding you every day? What vaccination can do that? Woo! Come on now. Jesus Christ is my hope. He's my vaccination. He's the one that keeps me from all harm and danger. I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. Lord, have mercy. You better get ready, because we're going to tweak another night. I'm out of here. Amen. Amen. I'm looking. I'm watching. I'm praying. I'm hoping any day, any time. I'm not ashamed to tell you I'm ready to go. I'm not ashamed to tell you I'm ready to go. And the only way I can be ready to go, I know Jesus Christ. I know him in the pardon of my sins. Amen. I realize I ain't getting to heaven by works. I ain't getting to heaven by George Bizarre. I'm not going to heaven by Jesus Christ. I'm not going to heaven by my mama, my daddy, my sister, or my cat, or my dog, or my best friend. I'm not going to heaven like that. I'm not going to heaven shaking a preacher's hand. I'm not going to heaven by giving him money. I ain't giving him nothing. If I give him anything, I give him some advice. Amen. Man, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel, the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Repent, or you shall likewise perish. And the world is saying, I'm not going to repent. I ain't thinking about God. He don't love me because I'm having so much trouble. It ain't God's fault. If you want to blame somebody, blame it on the devil. How come you don't blame it on the devil? Because the devil, you know what the devil, the devil's a murderer. He's a murderer. He's a thief. And he's a robber. He's the one doing it. But if you come to Jesus Christ and bow down on your knees and turn from your wicked ways, I guarantee you. I guarantee the blood of Jesus Christ will destroy every wicked thing that's in you and transform you into a new creature. And yes, you're going to have problems. Man born of a woman. Job, come on out of his mother's womb. When he got old enough, he said, man born of a woman has a few days to live and they're full of trouble. Weeping endured for a night, but my joy comes in the morning. Woo! The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Good God Almighty. They tell me that when Christ comes back, takes the church, judges the church for 7 years, at the end of the 7 year tribulation, he comes from heaven. And when he come back, this is what Revelation 19:11 says he's going to look like. He said, and I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. This is the true horse. This is the real horse. This is the real deal. Amen. This is the real deal. This is not the first horse. The first horse was the Antichrist. The second horse in the 19th chapter of Revelation is the true God, the living Christ. I saw him on a white horse, and he that sat on him is called what? He's called faithful and true. Faithful and true. Nobody more faithful than God. Nobody more faithful than God. If you want to trust in somebody, trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Call him faithful and true. In righteousness, he does judge and make war. War against Satan. War against sin. War against degradation. War against everything that's not like God. Anything that's not like God is a trash bin. Anything like not like God is going to hell. You don't want to be like the devil. Amen. You be like the devil, amen, and have the image of the devil and work the devil's work, you're going to hell. But if you change your life and let Christ change your life and become a Christian, become a child of God, you will have the image of God divinely, and you will have it and walk in him morally. Because let me tell you, the Spirit will clean your flesh up. That's the only thing that can clean your flesh up is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will wean you. The Holy Ghost will chastise you. The Holy Ghost will teach you. The Holy Ghost will guide you. The Holy Ghost will lead you to all truth. The Holy Ghost will comfort you. Oh, my God. No pill, no antidote, no prescription, no drug can do what Jesus does. And what Jesus does, he can save your soul from what? Hell itself. Because, my friends, I ain't never been to hell, don't want to go to hell. And when I even think about hell, I kind of like, whoa, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Save my soul from hell for eternal damnation. Why? Because I refuse to accept the Son of the living God, the only thing that can save me. Because let me tell you, Buddha can't save you. Islam can't save you. The Baptist can't save you. The Presbyterian can't save you. Nobody can save you but Jesus Christ. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every crooked knee, every dirty knee, every black knee, every white knee, every Chinese knee, every Russian knee is going to bow to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And every tongue, every dirty tongue, every crooked tongue, every short tongue, every every lying tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Even the devil and all his demons, because there's a lot of them. And guess what? They're the prince power of the air. They rule in high places. And they're in first and second heaven. Amen. They're in first and second heaven. And they're ruling now. And guess what? Ooh, they're getting ready to come down here. Those demons are getting ready to invade earth. Because there is going to be an invasion. You hear what I said? There's going to be an invasion of demons and devils. The devil's getting ready to invade this earth before Christ comes. And before he invades this earth, God Almighty is going to remove the church. Come on, preachers. Come on, seminar scholars, eschatology. Come on, tell the truth. Beware. Beware of false doctors and demons and doctors of devil. Because the devil got all kind of doctors out that's not coming from the word of God. And preachers are sucking it up. They're compromised. Well, I can't compromise with you, buddy. I just can't. I love you now. Oh, I love you. I love, but I can't compromise with no demon. I ain't shaking my hand with no devil. I'm not going to say it ain't in the word. It's in the word of God, Satan. He knows it because it is written. When Christ comes back, he's going to start a war against the devil, a war against the nations of the world. Because the nations of the world resent the return of Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I said? I said the nations of the world resent Jesus Christ coming back. Don't you come down here. Demons are crying out in hell right now. Don't come. Please don't come. Because they know when the rapture occurs, hell is going to break loose. You talk about Corona. Corona is a funny book to me. But Revelation, is realistic. Revelation is real. Don't you know there's over 28 judgments going to fall on this earth on the wicked people? You hear what I say? The wicked people. The people who without Christ is going to suffer in hell because they refuse the only sacrifice in the ultimate universe. No other sacrifice was made by God. Do you know what I'm saying? No other sacrifice was made by God than his son. He could not send an angel down here. He couldn't send a cherubim down here. The only one that came down here, and he come down here in a rebellion attitude because God wouldn't give him his throne. Well, you say this is a fool. Lucifer was a fool. And what got him in trouble, he thought he was so beautiful and so gorgeous. As you know how some people are today. They think they're so cute. Preachers think they're cute. Women think they're cute. Teenagers think they're cute. Oh, they so much this and that. Well, Satan says, oh, man, I'm the immaculate one. I am the one that's going to take over the whole universe, and I'm going to run it. And he couldn't even run a junkyard. And he tried to rebel against the Almighty God, and God booted him out. And Jesus was a witness. He said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He flew. God booted him out. Don't you come back no more. Because I'm going to dethrone you forever, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and the place is called hell, because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And the devil says, I'm going to defeat your purpose. I'm still going to defeat you. He tried it in the Garden of Eden. He tried it at the flood. He tried it at the cross. And now he's trying to try for his last time. And he know he done failed. He know he can't win. But he got people believing. He got the population of this earth believing that the devil is stronger than God. You crazy. You out of your cotton-picking mind. Excuse my expression, but I just got to say it. You got to be stupid. As small as an insignificant you are, small as a gnat on a camel's back, frail, weak, made out of the dust of the ground, and you're going back to the dust, and your soul is going to take a bow one place or the other. Either you're going to heaven, or either you're going to hell, and you better find out now. You better get busy. You better get your heart right. And I love every one of y'all out there. I love you to the T. I wouldn't tell you nothing. And actually, I'm preaching to Satan. I'm preaching to Satan because he's a lying wonder. Don't you believe nothing from Satan. If it don't come from the word of God, don't you believe it. Because Satan has been trying to change the Bible for the last 2,000 years. He's been trying to revise it, improvise it, and substitute it. And guess what? He's going to come up with the same old thing. It is written. And what is written is written. He tried to shuck and jive Jesus Christ. He tried to sell his, get Jesus Christ. Now listen, try to get Jesus Christ to sell his soul to him. The last temptation. If you will fall down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Well, in the first place, it wasn't him. The kings really didn't belong to him. He just snatched them out of Adam and Eve's hand and took it over because of disobedience of Adam and Eve. But the devil don't own nothing. He don't own a dime. He's broke. He's broke. He's so poor, the poor house won't even take you. He ain't got nothing to offer you. But you got folks, oh, man, I love my women. Man, I live for women. I'm going to have my fulfillment. I love women until I can go with one every night. I can have sex every night with a different woman. That's their God. That's what they worship. Man, if I had a whole lot of money, woo, I could live it up. I could do whatever I want to do. I can sell it, buy it. I can buy me cars. That's what the devil said. Give me your soul, and I'll give you the riches of the world. And folks saying, give me the riches of the world. I want to be rich. I want to take my money and gamble it away. I want to win something. I want to try to get something, woo, for nothing. But let me tell you something. The devil got all kind of gods out there for you, and people are sucking it up. Church folks, sucking it up. Sucking it up. Think about it. Think about it. You die without Christ, the living God. If you die without him coming into your life and let him cleanse you, when you close your eyes and they put you in the grave, your body in the grave, you're going to go to one place or the other. If you go to heaven, you're going to shout and sing. If you go to hell, you're going to ask your question, why did I listen to the devil? I remember I went to bed with that woman. I remember when I gambled. Why did I do that? Because you didn't trust in the living God. You didn't trust in his word. You let the devil deceive you. And he is the greatest deceiver that ever was and ever will be. And he's deceiving people every day. Church folks, he's deceiving them. Preachers, he's deceiving them. Deacons, he's deceiving them. Choir members, he's deceiving you. Quit trying to hobo your way to hell. If you want to go, you can go free. Don't be ho-hopping on God. Now, if you want to be a Christian, be one. But you can't be a Christian without Jesus Christ. You've got to have Christ in your life. And you've got to confess it. You've got to let the world know that you know the man from Galilee. You've got to stand up for right. righteousness, love, peace, joy. You got to stand up for reproving and rebuking these lying spirits that's going around, compromising with all kind of immoralities, saying it's all right for two men to get into bed and hump on each other. Come on, y'all. Quit talking. Quit trying to believe that man. Humpty Dumpty sit on the wall. Women going to bed with other women and lesbianing themselves and living in sin and misery. Men, grown men in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s taking little young girls, raping them and selling them for prostitution and selling them for child pornography in the government. You know, crept inside the churches where families are having incestual sex with their own family. Daddy with the daughter, mother with the son. Oh, it's a mess. Our world is a mess. It's a mess on top of a mess. And if you think God is going to let this go on, whoo, Lord, how much? You think you're going to let it go on any longer? You're sadly mistaken. Because when he come back, he's coming back in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ is going to get up out the grave and take off mortal body and put on the immortality. And we that remain alive are going to be caught to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds. And we're going to head for the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for 7 years. And on earth, it will be hell on earth. The Antichrist will be on the scene. And I want to let you know, brothers and sisters, he's alive today. He's alive today. He's alive today. And he's coming from Western Europe. Jesus Christ come from the east. The Antichrist come from the west. He's coming out of the European common market. I know what I'm talking about. It's in the Word of God, and I don't mess with the Word of God. I don't tantalize the Word of God. I don't try to remove something, amen, that's in there. He's coming out of the west. He is the ultimate specimen of Satan's false Christ. He will come on the scene after the rapture of the church and proclaim that he is Jesus Christ. And the world is looking for him, especially the Jews. They're looking for the Christ, and they will accept him because he will deceive them. They're preparing to rebuild the temple for him. They're getting all the Ark of the Covenant ready for him. Ooh, yes, indeed. They're getting the red heifer ready. They're getting the Ark of the Covenant ready. They're getting all the utensils and the priesthood ready because the Jews still believe that Jesus Christ, a sacrifice, was not sufficient enough, ooh, to take away sin. They still believe it's goats and turtle doves and lambs and red heifers, and they're going to rebuild this temple, and they are going to say to the Antichrist with his permission to restart old Judaism. But let me tell you, my friend, Judaism was all right in the Old Testament because Jesus Christ hadn't come yet. And by him not coming, God told old Moses to use animals and give sacrifices to turtle doves and sacrifices to lambs and sacrifices to bullocks and sacrifices to red heifers until I come, because I can't come until the fullness of time come. And it took 42 generations for him to come down, but he said, I'm coming anyway. He said, I can't send nobody else because they're not fit to come. The angels in heaven, they were holy angels, but they were not qualified to do what I got to do. I talked to the cherubims and seraphims, and they were not qualified to do what I got to do. I looked back into eternity, and God said, I believe I couldn't get a grip of nothing, because without me, nothing can even come out of nothing. And he said, what I got to do, I'm going to let man see what he can bring up. Well, nobody on earth, neither the patriarchs or anybody, was fit enough to do what Jesus done. Abraham was not unfit. Moses was not fit. And Noah was not fit. Samson and Isaiah and Jeremiah was not fit to do what I got to do. What do you got to do, God? What do you got to do, Father? I've got to go down and die for humanity. I got to go down and suffer for sins of the world. I got to go down as a man. I got to go down as a human being and suffer and die on Calvary's cross. God, I say God Almighty, the everlasting one, the eternal one, the one that's got all power in his hand. And since I got all power in his hand, I really can't find nobody to go down for me. So in the fullness of time, there was a woman came on the scene. Her name was Mary. And Mary was found with child. And she couldn't understand how in the world can I be pregnant and I don't know no man. Lord, have mercy. How in the world can I conceive a child and I don't know no man? And the Lord sent Gabriel down and told Mary, don't worry, Mary, and don't you weep and don't you moan. Don't cry and don't worry, for in your womb is a holy child. Good God Almighty. Yeah, a holy child, a child like never before, a child that came from heaven, a child that will be born, but a son will be given. The eternal one is going to be born as a child, but he will still be God. And God Almighty, I got to shout now. And God became man and stayed in Mary's womb. Look here. Stayed in Mary's womb for how long? 9 months. And there was no abortions around. And there was nobody that said, we're going to kill him. But one named Herod, and Herod said, I heard about this thing coming on the scene, and if I catch the woman before the baby's born, I'll kill it. But I have to wait until the time come, and when the time come for me to be born, he said, well, they're here now, all the babies that was born on this time. I'm going to go out and put a petition out to kill Oh, Lord, have mercy. Kill all the babies under 2 years old. Yeah, I got to get this man. I got to kill this baby. He's a baby killer. And guess what? We got a whole lot of baby killers today in the government, in the Illuminati. We got baby killers in the Luciferians. We got baby killers in some of these churches believing abortions and wiping out humanity. But the Lord said, I'm going to do something here. I'm going to fix it, and that the wise men will not go back to Herod and tell him where the baby is. And he told him, he told old Joseph, pack up, Joe, pack up, and take Mary to Egypt, and stay there for 3.5 years, and don't come back until Herod is dead. Yeah. And when Herod died, Mary and Joseph came back in Jerusalem, and they dwelt in that. And they dwelt there until about 33 years. But at the same time, God himself, this is what God did for me and the whole world. Every lost sinner, every man in the sane asylum, every deformed child or retarded child that's ever born, amen, died for the babies that won't be able to come to the accountability. He died for their sins. And I know a baby is sinless until they get to the age of accountability. So he died for the Adamic nature that baby has until they get to the age of, he died. Oh, yes, he did. He died. That was the only way. Now, wait a minute. Preacher Bazaar, you mean to tell me that was the only way God could redeem man from sin? Are you telling me that, preacher man? Well, the preacher man going to tell you, yes, absolutely, realistically, that was the only way God Almighty could redeem man from sin. He became a what? Sin offering. And sin is devastating Sin gets your head cut off. Sin can bring diseases. Sin can make you go mad, insane. Sin can cause you to commit suicide. Sin can cause you to commit adultery. Sin can cause you to commit fornication. Sin can cause you to become a freak out homosexual. Sin can cause you to become a lesbian. Sin can cause you to become a cold-blooded murderer, mass murderer. Sin can cause you to become everything the opposite of God. It's a mean, cruel way to die is in sin. And men today are dying in sin every day. And if you die in your sin, you got to pay for your sins. When you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to come into your life. And if you don't let Jesus Christ pay for your sins, and he paid for it all. He paid for it all. Your works ain't going to get you to heaven. Your good deeds ain't going to get you to heaven. Take faith in Jesus Christ to let you know that you are, come on now, I'm going to tell you just like it is, that you are rotten, low down, filthy, conniving sinner. That's what you are. And you say, no, I ain't that. I'm a good person. No, you ain't good. I'm not good. All the good things that I think I can do, it ain't good enough. It's Jesus Christ or nothing. Good works can't save my soul. And the world today believes because I'm a Catholic, I can go to heaven. Because I'm a Baptist, I can go to heaven. Because I'm a Presbyterian, I can go to heaven. Because I'm a KKK, I can go to heaven. No, 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 no. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The blood offering in the Old Testament, in order for God to commune with the people, they had to have a temple. In the wilderness, they made them out of tents by the mountain Sinai. They was in the wilderness for 40 years, and God dealt with them in tents. The temple was made out of material. They had the Ark of the Covenant. They had the high priest going into the holies of holies. They had the high priest offering sacrifice. Every year, they had to offer sacrifice for the sins of the people. They had to. If the priest would never go into the... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Listen. If they wouldn't have had them animals to sacrifice for those people in the wilderness, God would have to destroy the whole house of Israel. He would have to. Because the only way that man could commune with God is through the priesthood and the sacrifices of animals in the Old Testament. And the only thing that that blood could do of animal blood was cover sin. Oh, my God. That's all it could do is cover sins. And that was a covering of sin until the ultimate sacrifice comes. The ultimate sacrifice. The real deal. If the priest were not fit to go into the temple, he would be killed. Nobody could get near the temple but the high priest. Nobody could go into the holies of holies but the high priest. God is so holy, listen, God is so holy that they had to tie a rope around the priest's ankle to go into the holies of holies with bells on it. Because if God rejected the priest and he would sweat or he had something in his life that the priest would try to cover up, God would literally slay him inside the holies of holies, and there was nobody capable enough to walk into the holies of holies to bring the man out. So they tied a rope around his ankle. And if he died inside the temple, they would have to pull the rope and drag him out. But they had to sacrifice of blood of animals. If, Lord, listen to me, when Israel was in Egypt, if they would not have took that heslop and take that blood and dip it in the basin and put that blood on the lintel of the doorpost, if they wouldn't have done what God commanded them to do, they would have never came out of Egypt. They had to have the blood, not works. They couldn't do nothing to work get themselves out of Egypt but by the blood of the lamb. They put that blood on the doorpost of the lintel of the doorpost, and God told Moses to tell those people, look, when I see the blood, I will pass over. If I don't see the blood, and that's what happened. They took that blood and put it on the doorpost. And when death came in that night, it saw that blood on the doorpost, and it jumped up out of there, and that death got away from that blood. He couldn't do nothing. He could not go in that house if he saw that blood. And all the firstborn of Egypt died. That includes the firstborn of Israel if they would have not have put that blood on the doorpost. That was the power that the blood of animals had in the Old Testament. And that went on for 3,000 years. Woo! 3,000 years of blood-curdling sacrifice. They killed so many animals in the Old Testament, it made a river of blood. A river of blood. And they did it over and over and over and over and over and over and over until God said, I can't take no more because that blood was not sufficient enough to do but one thing, and that's to cover sin. And then in Hebrew, the writer says, if thou would prepare me a body, I'll go down. Oh, Lord. I'll go down and redeem man. I'll bring him back into the relationship with the eternal God. That's the only way that I can do it. And that was before any denominations or any religious sect or any occult religions ever thought about doing. They didn't think about doing that. They didn't know how to do it. They couldn't do it. Why? Because man is sinful. Man is a crook. Man is low down. Man is backbiting, hypocrite, and lasciviousness, lustful. He's a blasphemer. He cusses and he lies. He cheats. He does all the opposite of things what God hates. And when the fullness of time came, God sent his own son, his only son, his begotten son, the Son of Man, God himself. Oh, do you know what I'm saying? God himself became, I can't get off of it, he became a man, a M-A-N, a capital M-A-N. He had the same anatomy of a man. He had blood vessels. He had arteries. He had veins. He had capillaries. He had a heart. He had a blood system, a unique blood system, the only blood system. He had about a gallon of blood. It's about a gallon of blood in a man's body. 1 gallon of blood is in your body. 1 gallon. 1 gallon. He had a heartbeat. a perfect heart. He had a loving heart. He had a forgiving heart. He had a healing heart. He had everything that God was and is and ever will be. He was a perfect man, and he was perfectly God himself. And by him being holy, 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 his blood is holy. His blood had power enough to do what? Take sin out of a man's heart. Hatred, backbiting, lying, cheat. Take it out of a man's heart and give him a new heart by the blood of Jesus Christ and make him a brand new creature forever. Oh, y'all don't understand that. When you're born again, you're born forever. I'll say it again. When you're born again, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, you're born forever. The only sin you got to deal with is the sin of the flesh. And the flesh can never be changed until the trumpet blow. Then we will change this mortal body into immortality. And when we come back from earth, we'll come back to earth, we'll come back in immortality. We'll come back in a body. Just like Jesus. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, devil, where you at? Come on. Get your head up. You know where you going. You ain't going to get nothing. Son of man ain't going to get no new body. You die in this body, you will have the same body in hell. All the sin that you done done, all the sin that you committed, and you refuse to accept Jesus Christ, every sinner going to pay for his own sins. And, buddy, I don't want to pay for my own sins because I can't. Because the wages of sin is death. When you cut off from God, you're going to suffer to be apart from God forever. Oh, my God, you don't want to burn in hell forever. The devil's going to burn in hell forever, ever, ever. Ain't no water breaks, ain't no swimming pool, ain't no ski slopes, ain't no iced tea, ain't no lemonade, ain't no Kool-Aid, ain't nothing. But misery and agony, where the worm never died. That means the human race that died in wickedness is like a worm. They're going to be squirming and milling around in hell, crying out, oh, what a fool what I was. If I would have listened to that preacher that was on radio and listened to him real serious, I wouldn't be here, but I didn't want to listen. I thought he was a crackpot. I thought he was sick in the mind. Just like they thought Noah was sick in the mind. You fool, it ain't going to rain. Hey, what is rain anyway? We ain't never seen no rain. We ain't never seen the second coming of Jesus Christ, neither. Only way we can see it in the book of Revelation, it tells you it's going to rain this time, but it ain't going to rain water. It's going to rain fire and brimstone. Hey, preacher in the pulpit, come on now. Where you going to go? You can't hide. And you can run all you want, but actually you're running on a treadmill. You're moving, but you ain't moving. Because God is everywhere. You can't run from him. You can run into him, but you can't run from him. Why you want to linger around and believe that the world is going to be all right? Well, the world is not going to be all right. Because the world is of the devil. The world is full of demonic demons and devils and cohorts and all kind of wicked spirits. There's UFOs, alien beings, fallen angels. They're getting ready to invade this earth. And you talking about I want to graduate or I want to get married, which I mean that's good, that's normal. But what do you think? You ever think about my soul? Oh soul, where are you? Oh soul, talk to me. Oh soul, tell me the truth. Well, the soul ain't gonna tell you nothing, but the Spirit of God will tell you, and it will tell you you need to know Christ. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Tribulation period is over. Christ comes back in heaven. Comes back with the church. Let's see what the church is going to look like when he comes back. He said his eyes was as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed, listen to me, clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. His name was called the Word of God. And the armies, this is the church. This is the church right here. The armies, because I'm in the army now. I'm in a divine army soldier. I'm fighting for souls. I'm trying to tell as many as I can. I'm fighting not against flesh and blood. I'm fighting against the prince power of the air. I'm fighting against the devil and all his cohorts. He's trying to defeat me, but he can't. Why? Because I got the best coach in the world. I got the best trainer in the world. I got the one, that one that was before I was, and he'll be here when I'm dead and gone. I got the one that what came down through 42 generations and offered up his sacrificial blood, and died for me. I'm fighting. I'm in the army. You are in the army if you've been born again. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. The church is going to follow Christ. When we come back from heaven, Christ is going to be the leader. He's going to be the ultimate leader. And the army is going to follow him up on what? White horses. So I'm coming back to heaven from heaven on a white horse. I'm coming back to heaven on a white horse. Are you crazy? The devil said, are you crazy? You believe in that, but God, I told Satan, you know I believe in it. That's why you want to try to shut my mouth. But I ain't going to shut my mouth. I'm going to keep it wide open talking about Jesus, and I'm coming back on a white horse. I'm going to be better looking than the Lone Ranger, Alaska Nauru, all those famous cowboys that you ride, like to ride them white horses. I'm going to have a personal horse for myself while Jesus Christ is preparing for me right now. But I got to keep on preaching the word of God and let you know the Bible is real. You hear what I say? I say the Bible is real from Genesis to Revelation. It is accurate on time. Now listen, clothes. I'm going to be clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth, the mouth of Jesus Christ, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations. The nations of the world is going to be smitten by Jesus Christ. They're going to be slain at the battle and the last battle until after the millennium reign. And that battle is called Armageddon, the battle of Armageddon. Men have been talking about it for the last 2,000 years. And one of our greatest generals of all time in World War II, General W. MacArthur, I remitted this last time, General W. MacArthur, he said on the USS Missouri in Tokyo Bay, after Harry S. Truman dropped the atomic bomb on Japan, Nagasaki, and Hiroshima, and killed over 80,000 people in order to stop the war from killing people. Because the devil is nothing but a warmonger. He's the one that caused all these wars. God don't fight unless you have to fight. And when he's fighting against, he fight against the devil, because the very first war that's ever recorded is in the Bible. And that was the war that was in the presence of God in heaven. Lucifer started the first war. And ever since Lucifer fell, he's been warmongering on the earth right now. There's racial war. There's economical war. There's religious war. There's all kind of wars just going on. The devil just slaughtering people, blowing people's heads and limbs and, and blood flowing like rivers, killing and murdering and cutting their heads off and use it for a display on how cruel Satan it is, because he's the coolest cherubim ever was created until he fell. When he fell, he became a monster. And that's why the Bible used the word beast, the red dragon, the old serpent, the old slewfoot, always trying to eliminate somebody. But he messed with the wrong man. He messed with God, man. And when he messed with God, man, he thought he had slew him and hung him on the cross. But let me tell you, when Jesus Christ got up on the third day morning, they gave him two black eyes, knocked his knees out of joint, twisted his arm, put him in a full Nelson lock. And the Lord is letting him, let the devil beat his own self. But now Satan knows he don't have nothing but a short time. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, which he shall smite the nations and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. The rod of iron meaning during the millennium reign, God is going to have tough love in the millennium reign. It's going to be real, real, real judgmental. It's going to be judgment. We're going to be executed right away during the millennium reign. Satan will be bound in what? The bottomless pit before the millennium reign starts. And God is going to tell the angels to go down and seal it. Don't let him come out until the 1,000 years are up. And God's going to bring the world back into perfect order. Perfect order. Oh, taters, down through the annals of time, have tried to make the world better, but they made it worse. The last great government on the earth is called democracy, which right now the devil's trying to turn it into socialism. And after socialism is over, a dictator-type government. But the only government that's going to rule and reign, woo, hallelujah, they're going to rule and reign. It's called a theocracy government. In other words, God will rule for 1,000 years. 1,000 years where the earth will be brought back into its holiness, into his righteousness. And men will bleach their plowshares into pruning hooks. And men will not learn no more war anymore. It will be done. And the bear will lay down with the lamb. And lions will eat straw. And the child shall play with a cock thrice dead. And all the nations will go into the holy mountain in Jerusalem and worship the Lord. And there won't be no more war and no more hospitals and no more prison houses. There won't be no more drugs. There won't be no more killing. There won't be no more righteous living and adultery and fornication. It will be righteousness. If anybody go out of the side of righteousness, they will be executed right away to put fear in the people during the millennium reign, because there's one sin that man still got to deal with, and that is a sin of unbelief. God is going to prove to mankind there's one sin that you can't blame on the devil and all his imps and all his demons, and that's the sin of unbelief. And Satan's going to be bound for that 1,000 years, and man, after being under the influence of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, for 1,000 years, still will come out failure, because man is exceedingly sinful. And depravity is in man's heart without Satan being around. And the sin that's going to put not a lot of people, but going to put all people that walk in unbelief, people who reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their life and die without Christ, unbelief will go to hell, period. I don't say that in hatred. I don't say that in resentment. I say that in power, and authority. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. You don't. I ain't seen nobody being burned up say hallelujah. Praise God. If he does, he's a devil. He's a devil inside of him. And anytime you get burned, you are not going to say, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But anytime you get a cold drink of water on a hot day, you say, ooh, that's good. Jesus Christ will smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, tough love, during the millennium reign. He shall tread the winepress of his fierceness and wrath of the Almighty. This is when God's full anger will be unleashed upon the earth. God's full wrath. God's going to pour out his wrath in full blossom. Because it's been 6,000 years. God has held back his wrath. He don't want to destroy man. He don't want to destroy man. That's why grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth says what you deserve. You deserve to go to hell, but I'm going to give you grace. Enough time to acknowledge me as Lord and Savior. I'm going to give you the grace to acknowledge me. And people are neglecting the grace of God. But one day God's going to shut it down. And when he shut it down, he's going to shut it down when he comes back. Grace will be gone and the world going to be judged. You say, what you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about those that go through the tribulation. The minute they receive the mark of the beast in the last 3.5 years, once they receive that mark in their hand or on their forehead, the grace of God is eliminated. There's no more grace. You done. And those that refuse the mark, God gonna give them an opportunity to be beheaded for the faith that they will have in Jesus Christ. My friends, it's time to wake up. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. And you say, I'm laughing at you, preacher. You've been saying this for a long time. You're right. I've been saying it for, like I told you before, over 50, almost 57 years. That Jesus Christ, he's coming back. I was hearing about Jesus Christ when I was a teenager. Preachers was preaching the same Bible. Come up in a Baptist church and the preachers was preaching. Some of those Baptist preachers was preaching the word that would make you tremble and make your knees knock together. And I was called to preach at the age of 21. And I'm 76 right now. And I'm still preaching. I'm going to continue to preach it. And I'm going to preach save Jesus and him crucified. Coming back again. The rapture of the church. I'm going to preach the Antichrist. I'm going to preach the 144,000 that's going to come and preach the gospel. I'm going to preach the invasion of Russia upon Israel, which is coming up on the scene. The invasion of Russia upon Israel. It's coming up soon. Putin is upset with Israel. And Putin's going to get an evil thought in their minds that the Russian armies are going to come down up on the mountain of Israel. And when they come down on the mountain of Israel and try to take the riches out of Israel, God is going to stomp his feet. And you talking about thunder and earthquakes and lightning, God is going to revenge Russian people, not the people, but the armies that Putin is planning to do. Because they need oil. They need the riches in the land of Israel. And the nations that surround Israel are going to be defeated by God Almighty. And I want to let you know right now, amen, it's all about Jesus Christ. In these last and evil days, the centerfold of creation, the centerfold of the Bible, the centerfold of my life, the centerfold of time and eternity is the cross and nothing else. That wonderful cross that I surveyed, it makes me tremble because they beat him and they crucified him. They beat him so bad that they tell me no human being, no human person could look upon his face after they disfigured his back and his legs and his side and pierced him, gave him water. Instead of water, they gave him vinegar. They put a crown of thorns on his head and went between his skull and his flesh. They opened up his back like hamburger. Oh, y'all don't, you don't, you think that was a mild man, little slap on the wrist. Jesus Christ was mutilated. He was mutilated for our sins. Low down, dirty, rotten, crummy sin. Sin damn your soul. Christ gives you life. And the world says, give me death. Because I love sin. I'm crazy about sin. And people are dying now. Every day. And those that without Christ are looking up in hell right now. And they regret. They're crying out for help. And I want to let you know. Far away. There is a cross that we can come to. You need to know that Jesus Christ didn't die enough for one time. He's not going to die no more. Next time he comes, he's coming to judge the world in righteousness and in holiness. He's going to judge the world, and the world is going to be in awe. Men are going to be running to mountains, hills, rocks, and cry out, fall on the title for the one that's
for a world.
The only way you can escape is and thou shalt. Come on, this is Frank Williams talking about the old rugged floor. Let's go out.
So
Sunday afternoon, I'll be back on the title spot. God loves you, I love you. But I don't see you here. Don't see you here. Come on in. Come on down at the cross.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
At last, I lay down.
Oh, yeah.
So I cling to.
Yeah.
To the old cross, yes I will, and exchange Lord Jesus someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, who despised and asked by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. Lamb of God left his glory above to bear God can't bury